Well, welcome everybody to Downtown Harbor Church. If it's your first time here, my name is John. I really appreciate you guys coming on out, particularly on Time Change Sunday. We really do appreciate it. We are in week two of our series that we're calling No Big Deal. And over the course of this three-week series, we're looking at three sins that all of us commit, but we make excuses for them. And we say, well, you know, everybody does it. It is what it is. It's no big deal. The problem is, it is a big deal. All right, and these sins negatively impact our lives and the lives of those around us. And so each week, we're taking a look at one sin. We're going to find out what God has to say about it, and then we're going to try to find some healing in the process. Today, as Adam alluded to, I want to talk to you guys about gossip. So if you were here last week, you know that we talked about lying, all right? And so with that in mind, I really just want to be honest with you today, and I just want to tell you that I love some juicy gossip, okay? I hate to admit it, but I wanna be truthful with you guys. I'm a human, I love it, okay? Here's the good news. The good news is I know I'm not alone. Proverbs tells me that there's nothing so delicious as the taste of gossip. It melts in your mouth, like a Werther's original, okay? Now, here's the strange thing when it comes to gossip. We all know it's wrong, right? Nobody's like, oh, I had no idea. No, we all know it's wrong. In fact, I could just say, stop doing it, pray, and we'll go home. But we're not going to do that because, you know, they pay me to do more than that. Anyway, so there is just something so attractive about gossip, even though we know it's wrong. And I think that's why it's so pervasive in our culture. It's on the news. I mean, I feel like that's all news is, really. Reality TV is nothing but gossip. If you watch The Real Housewives, I don't, right? But I do know that it's like basically all gossip. You do it with your friends. You do it at the office. We say it's no big deal, but it's a big deal. Solomon, wisest man, whoever lived, tells us that there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. I like how he kind of like forgets one. And if you remember from last week, we learned that this word detests here in the Hebrew really means something like it nauseates, okay? It makes God want to puke. And so Solomon lists off seven things that makes God want to vomit. And he says things like a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, or he says a person who tells lies about somebody else and one who starts fights among brothers. In other words, a gossip. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk about, okay, why is gossip so revolting to the Lord? Why is gossip so attractive to us? And then I want to find some healing in this area. So let's start off first by kind of broadly asking, why do you gossip? Now, when it comes to gossiping, I personally resonate with something that the great theologian Taylor Swift once said, I don't love the drama, it loves me. Gossip just seems to find us, doesn't it? And when it does, want to share with other people, right? Why is that? Why do we just want to spill the tea, so to speak? There's actually been a ton of research done on the topic of gossip. I was actually surprised. And what these researchers found is that a lot of us gossip because it makes us feel important. It makes us feel like we've got the inside information. We got the intel that nobody else has. And what's more, we love to watch other people circle around us as we dole out those little juicy morsels to them, right? Researchers also found that many of us gossip because it makes us feel better about ourselves. Scripture talks a ton about this, how humans often delight in the suffering and misfortune of others, which is gross, but it's true. And one of the strange byproducts of gossip, and one of the leading reasons that we all do it, is because gossip bonds us together. And you see this play out in the workplace all the time. You know, you gossip with your coworkers about your boss. You gossip with your coworkers about other coworkers. There is just some strange bond that is formed when people gossip with one another. But think about that bond. Think about the basis of that bond. Think about how negativity, gossip, slander unites people. That's a problem. So what about you? Why do you gossip? In 2019, a massive research project was done on the topic of gossip, and these researchers found that on average, people spent 52 minutes per day gossiping. Now, I did the math on this, and you know I failed the counting, so you might want to check my work, but According to my research, this means that over the course of a year, we spend 316 hours, or roughly 13 days, doing nothing but talking about other people. Now, here's where this research struggled a little bit. When they assessed the content of the conversations that they were observing, okay, it was clear to them that 15% of the conversation was negative. That was obvious. Nobody was going to miss that. But the rest of the conversation, they weren't exactly sure how to define it. And they actually described it as neutral, meaning it wasn't necessarily negative, but it wasn't positive, okay? So what was it then? I was left asking. Like, when I hear this word neutral, I think about a car. When a car is in neutral, it's not going anywhere. Just idling, right? Now, Timothy tells us that we are to keep away from worthless and useless talk. And in the original Greek, this word is idle. Keep away from idle talk. So you might not necessarily be speaking negatively about somebody else, but if you're just talking about somebody else in a useless way, a worthless way, a neutral way, or an idle way, don't do it, he says. He says that only leads people farther away from God. That sort of talk is like a sore that won't heal. Why do I bring this up? I bring it up because if scientists were having a difficult time figuring out exactly when our conversations cross the line into gossip, perhaps we do too. And so today I thought it might be helpful just to ask, okay, how do we know when we're engaging in gossip? Because like Taylor Swift said, sometimes it just kind of finds us. The next thing you know, you're doing it. So I want to give you a couple of filters, a couple of questions that you can ask yourself to help navigate this issue in your life. So if you're wondering, all right, am I engaging in gossip? A great question to ask yourself is this conversation helpful or hurtful? Paul, this guy who wrote over half the New Testament, wrote something very convicting to a group of Christians. And if you don't know Paul, Paul started off life by hating Christians, hated them, okay? Lied about them, lied about Jesus, wanted to stomp out the whole movement. And then one day he met Jesus, his life was changed, he became a Christian. And here's what he tells us. Do not, that's a command, let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. Paul's like, whenever you talk about somebody else, just make sure you're using words that build them up, as opposed to gossip, which just tears down. So is what you're saying helpful or hurtful? And let's pause here because I think a lot of us like to defend our gossip, try to parse our words and make excuses for what we're doing. And we'll say of our gossip, well, what I'm saying is the truth, right? I'm not lying about what I'm saying. I'm not making any of this up. I mean, if it's true, it's fair game, right? I'm just stating the facts. I'm just telling you what I know to be true. In other words, we try to make ourselves feel better. We try to excuse our behavior by saying it's not gossip if it's the truth. But notice, Paul didn't say anything about true versus untrue. Because like we learned last week, everything we as Christians, and many of us are Christians, everything we say should be truthful. No, rather the delineation is helpful versus hurtful. Because you can be talking about the truth and still hurt someone. And so every time we find ourselves talking about somebody else, we have to ask, is this helpful or is this hurtful? Because yeah, it might be the truth, but not everything that's true needs to be said. For example, it is true, okay? It is a known fact that Adam Duckworth, our volunteer coordinator, wears just entirely too much cologne. We know this, okay? But we don't want to be talking about the fact that his cologne chokes us and prevents us from breathing naturally. We don't want to do that. Like, we don't want to talk about how after he leaves a room, his scent lingers like an evil presence, right? We don't want to talk about that, okay? We don't want to talk about how after he rides in your car, your seatbelt stinks like him for 2 weeks. That would be gossip. We don't want to do that. So it's not, is it true or untrue? It's, is it helpful or is it hurtful? All right, so if you're wondering, am I engaging in gossip? You might want to ask, am I making private matters public? Is what I'm saying something that was, I don't know, not supposed to be shared? Proverbs 11 says this, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Now, while I've already admitted to you guys that I do enjoy a bit of juicy gossip, when it comes to secrets, I'm a vault. Okay, I have very few good qualities in life, but keeping a secret is one of them. And sometimes it actually drives my wife crazy. So if you're married, you know that there is just this unwritten rule that spouses share secrets. All right, so if you tell your friend something, you just assume that they're gonna tell their spouse. Not me, right? And one time I got in trouble for it. So one of my best friends is actually my wife's cousin, Alexa. We're very close. A few years ago, she tells me this wild story that happened to her, and she told me to keep it a secret, assuming, of course, that I would tell Jacqueline. But I put it in the vault, as I always do. Now, fast forward 3 years, Alexa brings up this story in front of me and my wife. My wife was like, oh my gosh, I never heard this story before. And Alexa's like, wait, you didn't tell her? And I'm like, well, you said to keep it a secret, right? And somehow I got in trouble. But scripture says a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. And I firmly believe that when someone confides in you, they're putting themselves in a very vulnerable position, trusting you that you will do the right thing. You'll keep it to yourself. And as a pastor, that's an incredibly important part of my job. Okay, people confide in me all the time, and I want to extend that confidence into all of the relationships in my life. For two reasons. Number one, I want to protect others. I don't want to hurt them. I want to help them, and we've already spoken about that. And two, I want to protect myself. I want to protect my integrity, okay? I want to protect my witness as a Christian. I want to protect my reputation. Solomon gives us some great advice. He says, when arguing with your neighbor, don't betray another person's secret. In other words, what he's saying here. If you and a friend get into a fight, okay, don't in a moment of rage, don't in a moment of weakness, go to somebody else and start dishing the dirt about them. Because that's what we do, isn't it? We get mad at a friend, so you call up another friend, you're like, you're never gonna believe this. You know, dish the dirt on your buddy, okay? There are ramifications to that, scripture says. Not only have you now hurt the other person, and let's be honest, that was your intention, but now Solomon says, because of what you've done, others may accuse you of gossip and you will, look at this, never regain your good reputation. Now, when I read that, I was reminded of a great quote from the French poet Bourdieu. Okay, I had to write an essay about him in college. Anyway, he said this, honor is like an island, rugged and without shores. We can never re-enter it once we're on the outside. You made a private matter public. And now people never trust you again. They're no longer going to confide in you. And scripture says you will never regain your good reputation. You're never going to get back on that island called honor. And that's a problem. That's really a problem if you're a Christian. And so we say to ourselves, well, gossip's no big deal. It is a big deal. It is. It could do untold amounts of damage to other people and yourself. So we got to ask. Number one, is my conversation helpful or hurtful? Number two, am I making private matters public? And number three, we can kind of come at it from a different angle altogether. We can ask ourselves, all right, am I allowing others to gossip? Proverbs 17 says this, wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. In other words, not only is it wrong to spread gossip, it's also wrong to listen to gossip. Why? Because what you permit, you promote. Okay, your silence seemingly condones what's going on. If you listen to it, you're participating in it. If you listen to it, you're actually facilitating it. So what do? Instead of staying silent, we're gonna shut it down. There have been two people in my life who I've consistently witnessed shut down gossip. My wife and Adam, okay? I've watched them. I've watched them do it at work. I've watched them do it with their friend group. I've watched them do it with their family. And I have always admired it. You know why? Because it takes courage to stop gossip. It really does. Because when you don't participate in gossip, when you shut it down, things get awkward, don't they? And I think that's why we allow it. I think it's why we just stay silent. We don't want to put like a target on our back. We'd rather just go with the flow. Just, right? But God has not called us to go with the flow. He has set us apart to be different, right? He has called us not to stay silent. And so I just want to give you just a couple of ways that might work for you to try to shut down gossip when you see it. Might work, might not. Okay, first, you can just call it out. Number one, someone starts to dish the dirt, you nip it right in the bud, right? Gossip, right? Trying to get involved in that kind of a thing. And if that's a little too forthright for you, not a problem. You can try to put it back on yourself. You go, you know what? Hey, I'm just trying to get a little better with not gossiping, you know, myself. And I think folks will honor that. Now, this next one takes a little finesse, okay? It's not really for the faint of heart. You can try to redirect the conversation. So you're talking in a group, and all of a sudden, somebody drops a juicy morsel of gossip. And instead of engaging in it, you can give it the old, so anyways, I was saying, right? And you just completely ignore the whole conversation. You redirect it, change the topic. That's a power move, not for the faint of heart, but it works well, and it sends a message. Another great way to just stop gossip right in its tracks is to put the spotlight back on the gossiper. And you simply ask them, now, why are you telling me this? And if you want to sprinkle in a little bit of spirituality, you can give them the old Matthew 18 and say, hey, it sounds like you got a problem with so-and-so. Have you spoken to them directly? And the answer is no, of course. That's why they're talking to you. Now, when it comes to stopping gossip in our lives, if you find that you're frequently in the presence of gossip, okay? Like your friend group seems to do nothing but spill the tea when they get together. Maybe it's time to make a change. It might be time to rethink your friend group. Solomon tells us that a gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around with chatterers. The Bible is clear. Your friends can influence the direction and the quality of your life. Their actions, their behaviors can directly influence you for the good or for the bad. And if our goal is to get away from gossip, then maybe you just need to get away from gossip, okay? Now, if you hear nothing else I say today, okay, hear this. Your words matter. The words you speak are incredibly important, and Scripture says they have power. They have power to build, and they have the power to destroy. And Jesus says, but I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. And unfortunately for some of us, that might be a pretty long meeting. He goes on, for by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. We are far too casual with our words. I think we're far too cavalier about our gossip, okay? Guilty as charged. And we say to ourselves, it's no big deal. Everybody does it. It is what it is. But Scripture says that our words have the power of life and death. And as I look at what Scripture has to say about gossip, what becomes clear is that the words we use and the words we speak kind of become a direct reflection of how the world sees us. And so I think it's important to ask of ourselves, okay, what do you want to be known for? What do you want to be known for? Do you want to be known as the person that others can come to for help, for encouragement, to be built up? Do you want to be known as the person that people can trust with intimate details, personal struggles? Or do you want to be known as the one who does nothing but air other people's dirty laundry? Now, I don't know about you, but I really do want to do better in this area, okay? I want to make sure that every time I'm speaking about somebody, I'm building them up. I want to make sure that I honor others and keep private matters private. And with the power of God, I really want the courage to shut down gossip rather than just staying silent. So what's practical? What do you do with a message like this? If it's your first time here at Downtown Harbor Church, every single week we put this word on the screen, because we want to make sure you can leave on a Sunday and know exactly what to do with what you've heard. So today really was a cautionary tale about gossip. We say it's no big deal, but it's a problem. It damages other people, and it damages us. And in some cases, Scripture says, it damages us in ways that we may never be able to recover from. And that's sad. So when it comes to the gossip in our lives, let's stop the excuses. Because we all have excuses as to why we gossip. try to put a positive spin on it, try to pretend like it's something it's not. Sometimes we even try to get spiritual about it, and we get involved in prayer gossip. You know what that is, right? Hey, listen, we gotta be praying for Mike and Susan. I don't know if you know this, but Mike cheated. It's not good. We gotta pray for Susan's not taking it well. She's drinking heavily. All right. We gotta be praying for those kids. You know, they're already struggling as it is, so we gotta just cover that family in prayer. Stop it. Okay? You know what you're doing. We all know what we're doing when we're doing it. And it's time to stop with the excuses. Secondly, I think we gotta repair the damage we've created. You said something you shouldn't have said, and you caused some damage. Scripture tells us that gossip separates the best of friends. And maybe you blew up a friendship because of something you said. Maybe your family has been torn apart because of it. I have seen firsthand churches ripped at the seams because of gossip. And as Christians, and many of us are Christians in this room, I believe we have a responsibility to at least attempt to repair the damage that we may have caused. Now, how you're going to do that, I don't know. But if you ask God, I bet he'll show you. Now, I do want to be honest with you, okay? Because when it comes to the damage that we cause with our words, sometimes things can't be fully repaired. That's why the poet Carl Sandburg says, be careful with your words. They can be forgiven, not forgotten, which means apologies don't heal everything. And as Christians, we should seek to do whatever we can to reconcile with that person and bring about healing. We got to get down on our knees. We got to say, Lord, what can I do to make this better? I can't make it perfect, but help me to make it better. Lord, how do I show them with my actions, not my words? How do I show them with my actions how broken I am over what I've said? And lastly, I think we just need to submit our words to God. James, who is the brother of Jesus, says that no human can tame the tongue. It's like a wild animal, which means you need God if you want to do that. And so every single day, if necessary, we got to go before the Lord and go, Lord, I need you to help rein in my mouth. Proverbs says, help me, Lord, to keep my mouth shut and my lips sealed. Because ultimately, I represent you. And I want my words to be helpful and kind, seasoned with salt, and full of love. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, your words are clear about your stance on gossip. It damages. It damages us. It damages others. And God, in some cases, it's irreparable. But I pray, Lord, that you would touch us. God, as the words are about to exit our mouth, God, I pray that you would convict us and help us to shut those lips. I pray, God, that everything we speak would benefit those around us, that they would leave better for having been in our company, God. Help us to use our words to build others up, to worship you, God, and to make a difference in this world rather than just tearing those down. We ask all this in Jesus' mighty, powerful, and precious name. Amen.